Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This is an Odyssey original.
This is Coronavirus Daily, World on Pause. I'm Charles Feldman from the KNX Odyssey Studios in Los Angeles.
And I'm Mike Simpson. Kids 12 to 15 could start getting vaccinated within a week here in the U.S. Some states actually already giving the vaccines. The FDA gave the emergency approval for the Pfizer vaccine. But it's not like the kids can go to a doctor on their own. The parents need to okay it. But will they? We'll talk about a different kind of vaccine hesitancy.
The pandemic has made it both harder and more expensive to get an Uber or Lyft ride.
And the pandemic has led to people scrubbing and cleaning anything and everything except themselves, apparently. So we'll talk about that.
Ooh, let's start with kids, the vaccine, and their parents. Dr. Allison Messina is a chair of the Division of Infectious Disease at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. Doctor, why would the COVID vaccine potentially present more of a problem for parents compared to all the other vaccines that kids get?
Well, considering that it has been studied just as rigorously as other vaccines, it really shouldn't present a problem. But I think that most of the hesitation that a lot of parents are experiencing is just because the vaccine is so new.
What are you hearing from parents who are on the edge? And then we've talked about it before. It's the same kind of things, you know, with adults, I guess, when it comes to children. There are some that are just very, this is not going to happen, I'm not doing it. But then some people are just literally in the camp of, you know what, I'm just going to wait a little while. I'm not sure why even I'm waiting, but I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to see. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I think that a lot of parents probably would be more comfortable waiting. But I guess I would say to that, and the question I've posed to some of those parents is exactly what are we waiting for? So the children actually have the advantage, in a way, of the fact that they're going after the adults have already been vaccinated. So we now have in the hundreds of millions of adults vaccinated in this country with the Pfizer vaccine, the one that was just authorized for children. And we have the benefit of months of data and monitoring of those adults who've received this vaccine. So we know that it's effective, and the safety signals, there's really no safety signals that we're seeing, or no serious safety signals that we're seeing with the Pfizer vaccine for adults. So I think that should be reassuring for parents who are considering vaccinating their older children.
Is it fair to say, or is it an overstatement, that perhaps the parents who are hesitant about vaccinating their children tend to be parents who are hesitant about vaccinating themselves?
Yeah, that's probably true. It would stand to reason that if you're more fearful or more hesitant to vaccinate yourself, you certainly would carry that to your children as well. I think, though, that some parents feel, though, that there's another piece to this, and that's that overall, and it is true, COVID-19 disease is a less severe disease in children, if you look across the population. So sometimes I think they do that calculus of, well, I'm older, therefore I'm at higher risk. So, maybe the vaccine is, more desirable in an older population. And in some ways, everybody has to do that risk versus benefit kind of calculus for themselves. But I would say that, you know, we have seen this disease, you know, affect children severely. And if the vaccine is out there and available for them to prevent your children from getting severe disease, I still think it's worthy of consideration.
You know, I couldn't help but noticing when you said before, when parents say they're waiting to see what happens, what are they waiting for? And I had that same thought because I was reading a bunch of quotes the other day in some of the papers of parents who are reluctant to have their kids vaccinated. And they're quoted as saying that, well, we want to wait. We want to see what happens. And I have to admit, doctor, I did think the same thing. What do they expect is going to happen? They're going to get out of their homes and kids are going to be dropping like flies? I mean, what do they expect?
Yeah, I think that that's a question that when I pose this to parents who give me that answer, can't really quite answer it either. I think it's just sort of a sense of reassurance. And I think that, you know, as more children get vaccinated and as more, you know, children in their community, friends of their children get vaccinated and do well, I think that that hesitancy is going to wane a little bit.
Dr. Allison Messina, chair of the Division of Infectious Disease, Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital.
People have been having trouble getting Uber and Lyft rides lately, and when they do the rides, well, they're more expensive.
There aren't enough drivers right now, pandemic to blame, so when will the drivers come back if they do? Harry Campbell, author of the Rideshare Guy blog, author of the book The Rideshare Guide. So, Harry, where'd all the drivers go?
Thanks for having me on. You know, I started driving for Uber and Lyft 7 years ago, and this is probably the first time in my memory where just demand has really outpaced the supply of drivers. And so even though, you know, I think you and I and lots of other folks are having a lot of trouble getting rides, there are rides happening. It's just what we're used to, the reliability, the on-time nature of calling an Uber and a Lyft. It's just not there like it used to be. And there are a number of reasons for that, but it's, you know, it's a different experience these days.
Well, and obviously this thing that we just mentioned at the top, that Uber and Lyft are going to be providing free rides to vaccination sites, you know, they're not getting paid by the person taking the car or by the government for that matter. But it, yeah, obviously it's designed to get people back into the habit of using Uber and Lyft. But what will the companies, other than this, if anything, be doing to entice more drivers back on the road and more customers back into the cars?
Yeah. So the vaccine announcement that they made, it's actually part of an earlier pledge they did to basically support a bunch of different efforts around COVID. So I think the money is kind of coming from that. And actually what we've seen is on the demand side, riders have actually not needed a lot of convincing to get right back on the Uber app. You know, it's pretty easy, in fact, to still call a ride. Whereas on the driver's side, they may have had documents that expire. They may need to get another vehicle inspection. So Uber announced a big stimulus fund, $250 million, I believe, for drivers and bonuses and incentives and things like that. But at the same time, I mean, I went out just a couple weekends ago and drove for Uber here in LA. They had offered me $100 to do 3 trips. And drivers right now in the LA area, for example, are making $30 to $40 an hour pretty easily driving for Uber. So there's definitely a lot of money on the table, but it seems like drivers just have, you know, either other sources of income right now, whether it's unemployment or PPP loans, or, you know, maybe they've moved on to other areas of even the gig economy, food delivery, for example, or maybe they just don't want to work. So I think Uber is really struggling getting those drivers back on the road because of those reasons.
How much do you think the food delivery played into this? Because that's kind of been one of the through lines all the way. It's like, yeah, okay, I didn't have any people to take, so now I'm going to do, you know, yep, Uber Eats, or I'm going to do DoorDash or whatever. And maybe then they stuck with that and they didn't think, okay, now it's time to switch back over.
Yeah, no, I think it's been the two big reasons I would say are, number one, because of the unemployment and all of the stimulus money that's been available, right? If you go out and work for Uber, you know, that actually reduces your unemployment. So I think that's a choice that a lot of folks have made. And then the other big thing is that a lot of people, a lot of Uber and Lyft drivers did shift over to delivery, not only because there was more demand over the past year, but also because it was a lot safer. You know, there's really no customer interaction, you know, in these times of COVID. And as more and more folks and drivers are getting vaccinated, I think we might see that switch. We're actually about to run a survey on our site just asking how many drivers have been vaccinated. So we'll get back to you on the results for that. But I do think, you know, there's more competition. DoorDash is a $50 billion company right now, whereas before the pandemic, you know, they really weren't on the same level, you know, competing for drivers that DoorDash and other companies, or that Uber and other companies were.
You mentioned that you drive around LA. I'm wondering what the situation is like at the airports. More and more people now going back to flying. Yeah. Is it easy to get Uber, Lyfts at LAX, Burbank, Long Beach, wherever?
Yeah. So definitely at LAX, it's a pretty big hassle right now to get an Uber and Lyft because of that supply and demand issue. And then just, you know, a little inside baseball on the driver's side, right? If you're going to the airport, you typically kind of want to go for a longer ride. So if you're someone coming back from the airport and have just a short trip, it may be tough for you to get a ride. And I actually experienced this myself. I was in Jackson Hole, Wyoming on vacation last week, flew into LAX on Saturday, and I was trying to call an Uber Black for $60 from LAX to Mid-City. And my house, couldn't get a ride. I was calling for UberX and finally got a match for about $50-$60. Just to put that in perspective, it was basically the same price as an Uber Black, and that's the only ride I could get on UberX. But there are other options out there. You know, one thing I would say is, you know, think back to those times before Uber and Lyft when you would actually ask a friend, a family member, maybe a spouse or a relative for a ride to and from the airport. I think that may be a good option for now, or even other services. There's a service called Wings that does pre-scheduled airport rides. That's WINGZ. And then there's also a new ride-hail company here in Los Angeles that launched a few months ago called Alto. That's A-L-T-O. And they use employee drivers and allow for pre-scheduling. And it's sort of a little bit more of an elevated experience. So you got to get creative right now is my best advice.
Harry Campbell runs the Rideshare Guy blog and podcast, has the book, The Rideshare Guide. That used to be the true test of friendship in L.A., right? Like,
yeah.
I'll take you to Burbank, but I'm not going to pick you up at LAX.
Yeah, but I don't want... he was talking about getting... I don't want to get creative. I just want to go on the app.
I want to be as lazy as possible.
Right. I want to press the, you know, click the button that says car.
And have somebody show up in 3 minutes.
Yeah. I don't want to get creative. Coming up after this short break, if you've stayed home most of this pandemic, that funny smell could be coming from you. Many people spent the pandemic working and staying at home the entire time, hardly leaving to go anywhere. And since they weren't going anywhere or seeing anyone, there was no need to shower every day.
Yeah, it doesn't sound super pleasant, but is it actually bad for you? Dr. James Hamblin, public health and preventative medicine physician at Yale's School of Public Health. He's the author of Clean, The New Science of Skin and the Beauty of Doing Less. So, doctor, we got different camps, right? A lot of people shower every day, and those who don't want to or just don't. So who's right?
Please don't make me choose sides.
No. You're stuck. Choose which is the best.
You know, I took years talking to people about their showering and bathing habits in the course of writing this book. And what you find out is that there are just so many ways to be correct. There's a lot more room for flexibility.
Oh, you're copping out in this one, aren't you?
well, you know, I think it's just a very personal decision. And I think that a lot of people have the idea that there is one, you know, correct and proper and necessary way to do things because of marketing. But in fact, there's a lot more variation out there once people start talking about and sharing their habits, which are actually, you know, it's kind of taboo. It's a little like we're judgmental. We call things gross or disgusting.
Yeah. Okay. So mom told us to shower every day. So we'll say that's one side. And then there's like you doing research. Am I gross or dirty? Or like, how's my skin if I skip a day? Like, is something happening to it?
Yeah. No, if you skip a day, no. Certainly, I think when people quit cold turkey, they notice, and everyone around them notices.
Yeah.
But a lot of people kind of gradually start to do less. So, you know, maybe move from every day to every other day, and maybe even less frequently than that, or just, you know, shorter showers, or you know, give up the move the shampoo to only once a week, or body wash, like, you know, rarely. There are lots of ways to cut back without, you know, doing anything radical.
I mean, am I right in the course of human history, this notion of taking a shower and or a bath, actually, I suppose, before showers on a daily basis, it was really not the norm at all, right?
Yeah. I mean, before we had indoor plumbing, before we could mass produce soap at a you know, price that was affordable for most people. Certainly, it was a real luxury. And so the idea that it's necessary in order to be healthy is kind of at odds with the idea that we've only really been doing it for the last 100 years at most. And, you know, we didn't die of terrible skin problems or and we didn't offend other people with our smells. You know, I think our standards have just kind of changed.
But isn't that why perfumes and colognes originally came about? I mean, it wasn't because of all these romantic notions that are peddled now to get sales up. Wasn't it?
People were thinking.
Yeah, wasn't it to disguise the fact that people didn't smell very nice?
Yeah, I think. I mean, throughout history, there is certainly record of being someone at the bar who was the smelly person, who everyone knew this is the, you know, this person is offensive with their smell. But I think our standards now are such that if you can detect any scent of anyone at all, it's considered, you know, it's you, we judge those people like you're supposed to smell like mountain breeze and lilacs or something, you know. So, I mean, not every human smell is offensive body odor. And I think, you know, there's room to be a little bit more considerate there.
I guess, you know, not everyone's doing manual labor anymore either. Like, how much are you really going to smell if you go to the office for the day? Unless you have like a really scary meeting and then you're sweating buckets, because that's that's going to be a whole different thing.
Yeah. And I mean, it's up to us to be judgmental. I mean, if you smell and someone smells like sweat, you know, I think we're kind of told like, oh, that's gross. That's disgusting. But is it how much is it really offensive? I don't know.
That's why you put on the fresh linen deodorant or whatever it is, you know, springtime breeze.
Yeah, I mean, some people are very bothered by those odors. If, you know, someone smells like something really artificial, it's actually
like the Lysol smell.
Well, you know, when someone's put on too much deodorant or cologne or something, and it's just distracting how they're filling the room with their
or the elevator.
It's supposed to be good. But.
But it is true, is it not, that I mean, women have known for a long time that if you wash hair every day, that can actually be bad for your hair, right? Because doesn't it strip all the natural oil off of it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, soaps and detergents are wonderful products, but they're like hammers. It, you know, sometimes they're great and you probably need to have one, but doesn't mean, you know, it's going to be a useful tool for everything and that you need the more hammers you have, the better. You certainly can overuse these things, and the industry that sells them really wants us to think, oh, you need to, you know, really elaborately just use a ton of our product every single day. And there's not a lot of people who will push back on that and be like, why would we need to do that?
Yeah, what does the soap do to the skin every day? Is that good, or should I just like soap one day and then rinse the next and then back to soap the next day? This is back to the, you have to give us advice of exactly how to bathe.
You know, different people have different levels of sort of oiliness, different skin conditions. It's really hard to advise people broadly. I think if it makes you feel good to use it and you like it and you're not experiencing, you know, really dry skin, then go ahead and use away. But if you feel like you could do without it, you could save some time and money in plastic bottles and, you know, maybe
water.
Even your skin could improve.
Well, you're right about, I mean,
in
you're
the
right,
droughts.
Yeah, you're right about the marketing. I mean, you know, the I was thinking the my soap bottle at home, I think it says up to 250 pumps. And I thought that meant every day. But that's too much, isn't it?
Yeah, these things can definitely be overdone. And so I think a lot of people who I spoke to in the course of the book, you know, kind of battled chronic eczema or acne or skin condition, you know, dry skin, that sort of thing. And they tried all these different products and they tried adding more products and doing more and more. And that's the inclination, right? But actually some people benefit from being like, wait a minute, what if I actually try to do less?
Dr. James Hamblin there, public health preventative medicine physician at Yale. He's got that book, Clean, The New Science of Skin, The Beauty of Doing Less. 250 pumps, that's like bubbles going out into the hallway, down the road.
I think it's time for a group shower here.
No.
Get all clean.
One at a time.
Squeaky clean. Doctors are getting more confident now that the vaccines here in the U.S. are holding up against the many variants out there. Studies have offered reassurance that existing vaccines work well against the infamous UK variant and the California variant. And new data from Israel and Qatar shows Pfizer and Moderna vaccines work against the South African variant, which worried doctors and scientists because the AstraZeneca vaccine didn't fare well against it before.
This is an Odyssey original. Find us on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. Don't forget to shower.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Cyber Monday is on at Blinds.com. Transform your windows and get your home ready for the holidays with up to 50% off site-wide. Plus, doorbuster deals on popular styles at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the number one online retailer for custom window treatments. Go DIY and do it all 100% online, or choose white glove service with expert design guidance and professional installation for a seamless start-to-finish experience. Whether it's blackout, motorized, sheer, or solar, you'll find massive deals at Blinds.com on premium brands that make any room feel warm and inviting. With Blinds.com, you can browse online, order free samples, and schedule professional measure and install with vetted experts. Backed by award-winning designers and thousands of five-star reviews, Blinds.com has helped millions pull off that wow reveal before the guests arrive. Hurry, Blinds.com's Cyber Monday Super Sale won't last long. Shop now and save up to 50% site-wide and get a free professional measure. Limited time offer, restrictions apply.